Are you tired of getting into arguments in your relationship? Today, we're going to be talking about arguments and conflict in relationship and what you can do about it, how you can actually benefit with your relationship from learning how to handle arguments properly. If you'd like to find out more about how you can improve your relationships or how to find a fulfilling relationship, head over to therelationshipmaze.com, where you can find lots of free resources and our online course, The Relationship Maze. And you can also take our free online conflict style quiz and discover your argument style in relationships. And press subscribe right now. Welcome to today's podcast. And today we're talking about arguing. So arguments in relationships.
Yeah, it's one of those experiences that every couple would have had, although there are couples who work very, very, very hard at telling each other that they never get into any conflict, that they never get into arguments. So there are some couples who might say, well, we never have arguments, we live a very harmonious relationship.
Yes, absolutely. And I think, you know, most couples at some point do have some arguments, some more than others. But one of the challenges, I think, is how you handle arguments and how how your arguments are handled and managed, I think is a real predictor in terms of the long-term success of your relationship. You know, basically, whether you can maintain that relationship or whether it's a healthy relationship. It's not that you're aiming to have no arguments, but in terms of if the arguments never get resolved, if they leave you feeling awful, if they leave your partner feeling awful all the time, or if you just avoid trying to deal with the arguments, now these things are going to eat into any possibility of having a great relationship.
Yeah, I want to pick up from what I said at the beginning. So when I come across couples who tell me that they never fight, never have any arguments, I would say, well, there's something here that doesn't find expression, because I think it's almost inevitable that every couple at some point in the relationship will get into some conflict. And by conflict, I mean disagreement in the widest sense, because we have different perspectives as individuals, we have different experiences, we have different interpretations of what somebody else says and why they say it and what they're intending to do. So invariably, we're going to get into a situation with our partner where we might not feel so happy about what the partner's expressing, or where we might feel a certain sense of discomfort or even anger. And if this never finds any expression in the relationship, I think there is a problem here. And this actually happens quite a lot with some couples. They really work very hard at not getting into conflict or expressing anything that they might experience as an argument, because they worry that this might disrupt the harmony in the relationship. And they worry really that the relationship is then at risk if something is expressed that might not be comfortable.
Yeah, it's that fear, the fear of what might happen if they express something that's uncomfortable. But I think picking up on what you said, then there's probably different types of arguments. And I think, you know, the question is how you define an argument. So, mm-hmm. You know, as a couple, you might have disagreements about certain things that are important to you, whether it's political views, whether it's something else along those lines, which are more, in some ways, external mm-hmm. in terms of viewpoints. But then there's other arguments which grow basically, which have much more underlying things about, you know, your sense of being loved and cared for in a relationship. So let's take the examples where, you know, I know plenty of people who, you know, there's something that seems really minor, like in terms of how the cutlery is laid out on the table, which seems like something, you know, that seems inconsequential. And then suddenly there's a huge argument and shouting at each other. And it's like neither person is aware of, well, how did you get here? How did you get here from the fact that the knives and forks were laid out in a different order? And the argument in that case is not really about the knives and forks, but it brings up a lot of other meaning for the person. And I think, you know, again, it's whether, you know, for me, I've often in the past would have associated arguing with shouting and screaming, because that's what I'd have experienced with my parents when I was growing up. Mm. So for me, that is an argument, whereas a disagreement where even it can get somewhat, you know, it's going to trigger off some emotions, but if you're having a disagreement about sort of some sort of political debate or, you know, something around that, that to me is very different from an argument.
Yeah, I mean, the kind of two points that I want to pick up on in terms of what you just said, Tom. First thing is about what you're talking about is this idea of very often what might be helpful is this image of the onion, yeah, that we're starting to talk about something on the surface, the outer layer of the onion, so to speak, which is like an external situation that might be triggering something. But that really is only kind of happening on the surface of the onion. But if we kind of peel away layer by layer, we might get to the center of the onion, and we might get to the actual issue that is so distressing or disturbing to us, which is really very often something, of course, that is related to the past, experiences that we've had in the past. So with the example that you just brought about the laying down the knives, I don't know what that might trigger in someone, but it might trigger a sense of, well, we don't really care about how I do things, for example, here around our household, something along those lines. It might go back to, you know, very early wounding in childhood about I haven't been looked after well enough. And here's yet another example of not being looked after well enough. So that's one thing I just wanted to say about the trigger points, of course. And very often we are arguing about the outer layer of the onion when really what we need to argue about is, or not actually argue about, what we really need to discuss or refer to is the inner layer and the deeper wound that is finding expression. Now, and the second point that you made was about arguing and what is an argument. I think that very much relates to, again, earlier experiences that you have. If you're coming from a family where there was, which was very conflict shy, so to speak, where there was an avoidance of any expression of dissatisfaction at all costs, then anything that might be brought up by your partner might be experienced as quite threatening, quite frightening, or I can't go there. And potentially as an argument, yeah. Whereas if you have grown up in a family where there's lots of disagreement, open disagreement, lots of, as you say, loud expression of dissatisfaction, then you might not experience something that is expressed by your partner as an argument, just as a dissatisfaction, right? So it depends on your own experiences there, really, in terms of your upbringing.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, your upbringing is going to determine and also how you deal with that too. So, and this is something we go into in our argument course. So we've done a mini course on arguing, mm-hmm. and which I think is so important because, like I said, you know, how you manage arguments with your partner or potential partner in the future, how you know how to handle arguing mm-hmm. is, I think, a huge determining factor on the success or the long-term success of your relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, I think this is so, for so many people, the thing that breaks relationships is not being able to manage this. So, you know, I think that's so important. And like you said, we learned this. So, you know, if your partner starts getting into what you see as an argument, we may want to back off, or we may want to attack, or we may have different strategies that we engage in based on what we've learned from the past that at some point may have served us or may have kind of protected us or whatever it might be, but they may not be useful going forward in a relationship. So, you know, we learn essentially what an argument is from the past, but we also learn our way of actually standardly dealing with them, which evokes our often childlike way of kind of dealing with it or how we'd have dealt with it when we were kind of younger.
Yeah, and I think in couples therapy, we always say that most couples have the same argument again and again and again. It's the same old thing. It's the same old theme that emerges in most arguments, maybe in slightly different shapes or forms, but it's usually related to the same underlying issue that is finding expression and that doesn't get resolved. So the first thing is always to kind of understand what is it that we're actually arguing about here? What is it that, why is it this? What is our particular theme as a couple? What is the particular issue that we cannot somehow resolve as a couple? That's the first thing. And then the second thing is, yeah, having some sort of structure around how you express your dissatisfaction, how you go about it. So if you go about it, for example, in the constant shape of criticism, which is very common in lots of relationships, where one partner is always critical, always nagging, etc., then that is very undermining in the long run. Or if a partner becomes very contemptuous because they feel so frustrated with their partner, they feel like there's no resolution, so they react with contempt, then we're in trouble here as well. Or if the other, if one partner is always defensive, so basically whatever is being said is not being taken on board, is not being listened to, is not being engaged with, or find the final problematic way of responding to conflict is stonewalling, so where one partner basically just puts the shutters down, walks out of the room, or, you know, at the extreme, in the extreme case, or basically listens but doesn't engage, doesn't actually listen or doesn't really engage with the complainant. So these are, these four ways of engaging with arguments are the most undermining. They're not helpful to start with.
No, and those, we go into those in more depth in our argument course as well. And I think those are really important. And as well, also bearing in mind, some of these things aren't always clear cut as to where they come from or who they come from. Because, you know, what someone perceives as criticism to the other person may just be a statement. So we may actually project what we see as criticism onto just a statement like, could you just put your plate into the dishwasher, which is just, you know, maybe you're in a hurry and you're just asking for some help, but that's like, to the other person means, what you're always kind of saying, I'm not doing something, when it's not overtly said. Even stonewalling, it could be that, you know, in terms of what sounds like something that's very conscious plan in some ways, so it's not really conscious, but it's sort of shutting down. It's like there could be situations where, you know, somebody pauses and the other person sees that as stonewalling. So again, I think this, all of these things, we need to kind of work out what really is going on here as well. Where is this coming from? Is this coming from us? Is this coming from the other person? And I know there's always the combination as well in the system of the two. But I think what is also important is to be aware of, are these patterns that you've had in other relationships, if you've had long-term relationships, because if you notice that there's a repeating pattern in different relationships, then you can start to see what are these elements within yourself that get stirred up, and that's the work you need to do in yourself, which essentially, if you don't work in it, you're never going to have really a fulfilling relationship or a relationship that maybe is going to lead to long-term success, whatever you define success as. But then there's the elements that come up between the partners too, where their own elements get triggered off. So I think it's also known that even if you're not in a relationship right now, you know, have you had a pattern of responding in a certain way and getting into this sort of arguments in different relationships? Because that's a real sign you need to do this work now so that you can have a fulfilling relationship in the future.
Yeah, there's definitely the issue around, I think what you're bringing up there is the, what is very typical in a lot of relationships is the finger pointing and the blaming, saying, you know, the problem is over there. If only you did something different here, then we wouldn't have this problem, which might be true to some extent. But I think what's also helpful in a lot of these situations where you get into arguments is to think about, well, what is it that I bring to the table here again and again? How do I contribute to this argument playing out? How do I contribute to not resolving the issues that need to be resolved? What is it that I can take responsibility for? What is it that I can do differently? Or what is it that I can do that enables a different behavior in my partner? Is always a good starting point. Because you might not be able to change your partner, but you can change your own behavior. And that might have a very positive impact. You'd be surprised. You're getting out of a cycle then, right? If the behavior change starts with you. So that would be really important.
Absolutely. So, you know, knowing what role you play in that rather than always blaming the other person, although, you know, that's not always the case.
Of course,
I think as you indicated,
that
sometimes it is maybe the other person gets triggered by certain things that they haven't resolved too, and that changing your behavior may not be enough.
Yeah.
Because in a relationship, it's a system. So, you know, you change, if you change your behavior, it's going to have an impact on the other person. But if something's been established as well, the way that systems operate is they try to put things back to the way that they were. So it tried to restore the homeostasis. which is, you know, the way that they're operating. So it may be that the other person actually adjusts what they're doing, which tries to unconsciously put you back into the way that you were. So it can be really challenging. So that's why, you know, ultimately, with in a relationship, it's both people need to look at this together. And but understanding your own conflict style, I think, is really important, which is why partly why we put together our conflict style quiz that's on our website, therelationshipmaze.com, just so you can get a sense of what is your natural style of arguing. What do you do when you get into arguments? Mm-hmm. Because then you can start to look at that yourself and together and get a sense of, you know, some things you can do to begin to shift this.
Mm. Yeah, because what we are always interested in is what's the kind of formula here that plays out? What's the pattern? So, you know, for example, one you might get to a point where you can unravel as a partner that, you know, I get angry when you do this. So when you can describe a particular specific behavior by the other, because what I imagine is, and then where we look also at what are the intentions that I might subscribe to my partner's behavior, because that's also really helpful to work out, you know, what is it that I think that I fantasize about you intend to do with me, and what is it actually that you are trying to do with me. So it's like working out a kind of pattern of, like, I get really upset when you do this, identify the particular behavior, because what I imagine is that you are trying to do that. So identify also what it is that you imagine your partner is intending to do. What is the bit that you make up, so to speak, in your own head?
Yeah, and so maybe you give an example, because I think maybe that's not really that clear in terms of what you intend to do. Mm-hmm. So when you're saying, you know, in terms of when this happens, I feel X, mm-hmm. because what I imagine is, yep. What you intend to
Why?
Do.
Yeah.
Maybe you can give an example of what you mean by that.
So if you don't clear the knives away, or sorry, what was the example that you, the cutlery, right? Put the cutlery in the right way on the table. Yeah. And I have already told you 10 times to do it in this way. You keep doing it. Then I might assume that you really don't listen to me and you don't care about what really matters to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the, you know, you do X, I think you do Y. And what I want to get to really is to specify an alternative behavior. So what I might want to say to you then is, and I would really appreciate it if you could do it in this way next time.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're trying to get to something else. But I think one thing that came up there is there's quite a big difference between what I take from that is you don't listen to me. Mm-hmm. But I think what's the deeper thing about that is what that means to you, mm-hmm. in terms, yep. of you don't care about me, which, yeah. is very different. Because,
yeah, I agree.
You know, sometimes, you know, we may not listen to somebody, but it doesn't mean that, mm-hmm. we don't care about them. So we're putting together that meaning as well.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I think that's the deeper, that's much more getting to the middle of the onion, isn't it? By saying you don't care about,
yeah.
me. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and I think often it's good to start with not the feeling, so I feel upset. Maybe describing, you know, the other day when X happened, and trying to describe that really objectively, like in a movie, if you're just describing what happened. Mm. Try and avoid putting any words that may sound blaming.
Yeah.
So the initial way when you bring this up is think about how the way that you're saying it, could this come across as sounding blaming? Because if you do, the other person will immediately go on the defensive.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you want to put across this. So the other day when you were speaking, I heard your voice raising, and what the meaning I took from that was that in my mind, I imagined that you were angry with me, or kind of upset with me, or whatever it might be. Mm. So kind of, and that made me feel anxious, or as a result, I found myself feeling anxious. Mm. So it's kind of going through the sequence and exploring what happened.
Mm, the impact, describing the impact of a certain behavior on you.
Yeah.
I think that gives your partner then also more options to do something differently.
Yeah.
So you can finish this off with a request for, could you please the next time do this or that?
Yeah.
And you're giving your partner some options.
Yeah.
You could even do it by saying, look, I give you 3 options here. Can you choose one of these?
Yeah. And I think also it's maybe also being aware what the meaning is in terms of, for me, that means that you don't care about me, is, you know, that can also bring a conversation about exploring, well, actually, this isn't about caring, but actually letting each other know that they're cared for. Because sometimes, you know, for whatever reason, it may not be easy. It's not always easy to change behaviours. So, you know, if you've habitually done something a long time, it's likely that that behaviour is going to happen again. And it's knowing that this isn't about not being caring about the other person. So I think it's also for that person to understand that this isn't always about that. And if it's agreement from the other person that they will change this, then that's great. But also that understanding that what way can we, you know, help to kind of change this pattern? What can I do to help with this? But I think it's not always about forcing options on the other person, because then, to me, that is potentially kind of manipulative. What are you going to do differently? It's sort of, I think we have to be careful about kind of that agreement in terms of exploring, you know, what's the best way forward.
No, not at all. I don't think it's at all manipulative. It's got, you know, it's very clear cut. It's just being, I think in a way, I think what you're describing here, what you also... inferring in a way, is that I think that there's an opportunity with any conflict to actually develop more connection with your partner, because you're digging deeper. You have the potential here to gain a deeper insight into your partner. It's a more intimate connection to find out how your partner ticks and, you know, what matters to them. So what I, the point about a request for change, where you give your partner some options, it's really just to, you know, this is a compromise. This is also maybe getting to a point where, first of all, you have elaborated, you have explained why this really matters to you, and then you explore what can be done here. So it's not about manipulating, it's about giving options.
Yeah. But what I mean is tying in certain options. So it might be, let's say the partner said, well, in the past when I grew up, we always laid out the cut through like this, and this was really important to me. And if it's not done like that, I feel upset. So there may be certain things, and it's exploring what meaning this has for each of you. But it's not about necessarily one person imposing, taking an option that has to be one of those. It could lead to a discussion and finding out more about your partner.
Absolutely. No, it's not about imposing anything. It's about creating some connection, finding a way forward. So that that there is a potential behavioural change, if possible. And after you have explored why this matters so much, why it's important.
Yeah, and sometimes it will be compromise between you. Sometimes it will be the other person changing, but sometimes it may be you realising that actually this isn't really a thing that the partner needs to change. This is something about within you that needs to change. That's what I'm getting at, is it's not necessarily just about your partner having to do the things differently. No. It may be through a discussion that realisation that this is something else that's going on.
Yeah, this is a really good point. Absolutely. And I think this is what I mean about... Here's an opportunity for more connection, because it gives you an opportunity to reflect on why something is so important to you. And also to reflect on, well, hang on, this was really important in the past because it had this particular meaning then, but does it still have that same meaning now? Can I let go of this? Do I need to hang on to this? Or, you know, does it have to be modified in the present? So what are we actually arguing about? It's kind of looking at that in different lights and weighing it up.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's probably that between you. So that's the point that I was really getting at, was I think it's that discussion between you, and this strategy that you mentioned as well, this way of discussing these things about in terms of what happened, what you imagined, what you felt, and then exploring and how I'd like it done differently. That needs to, you know, maybe that, like I said, it may be that the partner does change that, but it may also be through discussion that you have that realization that maybe this is something within you that you change too. It's not necessarily clear cut as to where that is, but there needs to be that openness.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's important. The other thing that's also important in terms of conflict, getting into arguments, are some really simple pointers around, you know, you have your argument or you have a discussion about something that really matters to you. When it's the right time, when you've got the space, when both of you have got the time, when you can engage with this. when you're not distracted by lots of other things, when you can actually really listen to each other. And we have talked about listening practices in other podcast episodes. I might put a link into the show notes. You know, it's really, it's important that you actually make the time for this. If it's something that, particularly if it relates to the same old fight that you have again and again, that you give some time to unraveling what it is that needs to be addressed here, what the difficulty really is.
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe in another podcast, we can review some of these things and add a little bit more with strategies about how to handle arguments, you know, some top tips, because this is something that's really important.
Yeah.
And as we mentioned, we do go into this in more depth in our argument course, which you can find via our website, therelationshipmaze.com, as well as taking our online conflict style quiz and discovering your argument style and relationships. Mm-hmm. So please tune in again next week, and we're going to be covering something else to help you create or even find a fulfilling relationship. And press subscribe.
Take care until then. Bye.
Bye.